Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
It's been said, don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. During times of uncertainty and fear and trouble, we often doubt and make wrong decisions. But next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell will challenge you to come back to a strong foundation by reminding you of things to remember. The song says it so well, we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How often we are tempted to despair or discouragement and to making the wrong decision. In the Christian life, we're on a journey. The journey sometimes contains twists and turns in the path, times of doubt and fear that cause us to get shaky and skittish like a sheep, and we need a shepherd. It's our shepherd that calls us back to his word to remind us of the foundational truths of our lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This Monday through Friday radio program comes to you and features the teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell today is teaching a series entitled Things to Remember, reminding us of the foundational truths of our spiritual lives. Before we join the message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. When you visit us on the website, be sure to click on the Contact Us tab and send us an email and let us know that our program is touching your life. We have a gift for you this month when you call or write to us or contact us. It's the mini book, Done, a very clear presentation of the gospel that you can pass along to a friend. To receive this, simply give us a call or visit the website at dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to remember his provision of grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Here's Pastor Chappell.
There's something about the last words of a man or a woman that stick with us, that remind us of the message they felt to be very important for us. I remember a few years ago, our missionary, Brother Jupp, a missionary to Cambodia, he was walking across the parking lot. And as he was walking away, we had just said goodbye. He turned around and he said to me, "Hey, Brother Chappell," he said, "take care of my boy." He had just left his son to attend college here and he wanted me to keep an eye on his son. Little did I know that just a few weeks after that, God would call him home in a tragic car accident. I remember the words of my grandfather last year as I visited him for the last time, just a few months before God called him home. And there's something about the last time you see someone and the last words that they tell you. Well, when you read the book of 2 Timothy, you are reading the last words, some would say the last will and testament of the Apostle Paul. He had fought his good fight. He had kept the faith. He had finished his course. And he knew now that it would be up to Timothy and other younger preachers to carry the gospel on into the second century for the glory of God. And yet, perhaps with second generation Christians and perhaps this second generation preacher and others around him, there would have been a little bit of a fear, a little bit of a timid spirit, because Paul was such a valiant preacher and such a warrior of the faith. And now he was talking like it was the end. And so Paul is writing 1 and 2 Timothy to encourage this young preacher to take his stand and to do the work that God had called him to do. And somewhat with a fatherly tone of voice as his spiritual father, he says to him in verse number 6, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Every child of God has been given the enablement, the power that is needed for living the Christian life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All of us, when we were born again, we received the Holy Spirit into our life. And we receive spiritual gifts and enablements whereby we might live the Christian life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we have been the recipients of that enablement, I believe Timothy received a unique enablement, a special anointing, if you will, for the ministry that God had given to him. And when he was ordained, and when the pastors gathered round, and when the Apostle Paul laid his hands on him, Paul the Apostle says that there was a gift given to him with the putting on of his hands. And he says, I want you to stir that gift up. I want you to get the flame stoked up. He said, I want you to be red hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, I want you to realize that everything you need for the ministry has been given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to say this morning that all of us must recognize today that we too must be strong in the grace of God. We must be growing in the grace of God if we are going to stand fast and true in the day in which we labor. Now, it's not always an easy time. I recognize that. Not everyone in your neighborhood is glad you're a Christian. Not all of your relatives are so happy when you pray for Thanksgiving dinner. And not everyone at work is glad that you want to talk about the Lord or the Bible. I understand the culture in which we live. One of the things that amazed me in these past recent weeks as we had the opportunity to visit England was that in all of my readings about the Reformation and the preaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon and the great, great theologians of yesteryear, and really just as recently as the 1700s, in all of my readings about this great history, I was shocked and amazed at the lack of Christian faith in that land. In fact, the one leading pastor that I did meet with said to me, Brother Chappell, we are basically an atheistic land today. In fact, the most predominant religion that I saw actively everywhere in England was the Islamic faith. One day we were on a city bus going from one museum to the next museum, and all of a sudden the bus was stopped, and we looked ahead. There were tens of thousands of people with signs, and they were blocking traffic. We had to go all the way around the other side of town to get another bus, and there was a big, huge demonstration. And the people just outside of the bus, they were carrying signs. I took a picture of them. And the sign on the left says, "We are Hezbollah." And the other sign says, "President Bush is a terrorist." And they were chanting, "We are Hezbollah." And I didn't know what to say. We are American. Maybe we better not say that right now. I don't know. They were upset. By the way, I would not carry a sign with pride if I was a part of an organization of terrorism that murdered innocent people. But that was something they're proud of. And burning our flag and angry at America. By the way, that seems to be the sentiment around the world sometimes today. And we were kind of right in the middle of it and watching it all around us. And it just was a stark reminder of the fact, folks, we live in an angry world today. It's not the easiest place sometimes to say, excuse me, can I give you a gospel tract to tell you about Jesus Christ? Would you like to know more about how you can have a relationship with God? And sometimes we could, like Timothy, need to hear from the Word of God when Paul says, hey, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And with all the anger and hatred in the world, sometimes it's easy for Christians just to kind of be quiet about our faith. It's easy to sometimes not take the stand that we should take. And perhaps Timothy was a little indifferent towards his leadership position. Perhaps he didn't know exactly what to do. Whatever the case, the Apostle Paul was going to challenge him with this simple fact that when God called him, God enabled him. With God's calling comes God's enabling. Let's say that together. With God's calling comes God's enabling. And God has called all of us to witness for Him. He has called all of us to serve Him. And when He calls us, He enables us, He strengthens us with the strength that we need for this work. And so I draw your attention to our text this morning, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The first reminder from Paul to Timothy and for each of us this morning is that God has given to us the spirit of power. The spirit of His power. I'm not speaking of the power of humanism. I'm not speaking of the power of the human spirit. I'm not speaking of the power of a positive spirit. I'm talking about the power of God. Did you know that God wants you to experience His power in your life? And that this power comes from His spirit that dwells within you? You see, the Holy Spirit resides in every born-again Christian. I know this is basic, but let's think about it for just a moment. The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So when we were saved, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Spirit of God comes into our lives to energize, yes, to save us, but also to energize and help us along the way with the Christian life. I am saved by grace, but I also serve God by His grace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. In this world today, there are people who have the Spirit in them in their lives, and there are people who have not the Spirit of God in their lives. And the way we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the Holy Spirit resides in every born-again Christian's life. And the Holy Spirit imparts grace or strength or power to the Christian that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. When the Christians at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost received the Spirit of God into their lives, they were endued with power by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says they went everywhere witnessing and preaching. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says it this way, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what I want you to recognize this morning is that God gives us His Spirit, yes, to comfort us, yes, to guide us, but also to empower us and to energize us so that we might be His witnesses in this world today. The Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest preacher of all time, a missionary, a tremendous apostle, I believe his testimony would be something like this. Without the grace of God and without the Holy Spirit's power, I could never have preached those messages. I could never have sang at midnight in the prison house. I could never have done the work that was done without God's power. In fact, Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and I'd like you to turn there very quickly if you would. Hold your spot here in 2 Timothy. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And Paul the apostle had these afflictions and distresses in his life, and he had prayed that God would remove them. Sometimes God does a removing job. Sometimes God does an improving job. And in Paul's life, he determined to give him the grace or the extra power to get him through. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, it says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus said, Paul, I'm not going to heal you. I see that you are weak. I see that you are struggling. So what I'm going to do for you is give you some strength and some enabling power so that you can go on and do what I have called you to do. And so this power came from the Spirit of God, from the power of God. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, amongst the different groups of people that we studied and saw in museums and in the homes where they lived and the churches where they preached, I was especially intrigued these last few weeks to visit the sites of some of the British reformers, men who were born into Catholic homes in the late 1400s, maybe early 1500s, some of them who were priests and monks, and yet they began to study the Bible, and they came to the conviction that salvation was not through the church, but it was found through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the things that interested me about these men and women was how the power of God rested upon them. was how that in facing great adversity, yet they had a strong witness for Jesus Christ. One of the men that we studied was a man by the name of Hugh Latimer, L-A-T-I-M-E-R. He was an English reformer of the 1500s. When he was a student at Cambridge, he was a cross bearer, something like an altar boy. He was then a Roman Catholic monk, and yet there began to be heard the writings and the teachings of salvation through grace, through Jesus Christ. And Latimer and others began to question the concept of the Mass or the Eucharist as a way to receive literally Jesus into your body. They began to question that doctrine. They began to question this idea of going into a booth and confessing your sins to another sinful man. They began to question the idea of praying to the statues of the saints and so forth. And for their questioning during this difficult time when the church and state, of course, were working together, he found himself first in the Tower of London prison. And later on, he found himself in the prison at Oxford. And for his faith in Jesus Christ and for his strong desire to see the Bible translated into the language of the people, Latimer was brought before the Catholic questioners who began to hold him in prison and question him and demand that he recant his faith. And as we visited Oxford, England, we stood outside the doors of Balliol College and we saw there the very doors upon which the flames leapt up and scorched the doors while Latimer was burned at the stake because he would not recant his faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, you're just walking around somewhere and you turn around a corner and there's a sign that says, "Here burns so-and-so for their faith." It makes you stop and think about your own faith. Here's the doors. These doors you're looking at here, over 500 or nearly 500 years old. 500 years ago, when the flames leapt, there was a spot in the middle of the street that showed where the man and two of these men died for their faith in Jesus Christ. I know it seems hard to believe. We live in America with such religious freedom, but it took place. And yet the power of God rested upon his life. The Bible is clear that without God's power, we can do nothing. I read to you just briefly this morning from a little book I found in a used bookstore over there, The Lives of British Reformers. It was closer to the events, and I thought it was interesting to read about these men. On the morning of October 16th, 1555, Latimer and Ridley were led to the place prepared for their burning in the front of Balliol College at Oxford. They kneeled down and prayed separately and afterwards conversed with one another. A sermon was then preached in which their doctrines and their characters were aspersed, but they were not allowed to reply or suffered to reply. "Well," said Latimer, "there is nothing hid but shall be opened." The jailer took then off their upper clothes to prepare them for the stake. And as they took off their upper clothes, now being prepared, they were taken to the stake. A lighted faggot was brought and laid at Ridley's feet. Latimer then turned and addressed his fellow sufferer in these memorable and emphatic words, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." As the flames came up on him, Latimer bent towards the flames as if to embrace them. And he said so that all could hear, "My trust is in thee, O Lord. O Father in heaven, receive my soul." I don't know about you, but thinking about a Christian man embracing the flames and literally standing up for his faith in that way, I see a testimony not of the power of man, but of the power of God in his life. And we must have this power if we will be courageous in our own lives. Oh, there must be power from the Holy Spirit. There must be power for every burden we face in this life. You know, we all have burdens, and we're all going to face challenges in this life. I think of the burden and the need for the power of God in witnessing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul wrote, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." Did you capture that little phrase? He said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." We need God's power today that we might witness and stand up for Christ in this hour in which we live. We need God's power when persecution may come. And yes, it does come. Don't think it's fun for a child from this high school to go to a public school and bow their head to pray for lunch and they're made fun of. That's not easy for them. It's not easy for someone standing up for Christ in the midst of an unsaved generation. But the Bible says in Colossians 1:11 that we may be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will help us to pray and will be our intercessor in prayer and giving groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm saying that when you're so tired and weary you don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit of God strengthens and helps us along in that direction. One of the cities we visited was the city of York, and I knew a little of the history there, but there was much more, obviously, I needed to learn. I had read and was anxious to see York because it was the place where Constantine was declared the emperor of the Roman Empire in the 300s. And having just preached about that, I wanted to see the place and try to imagine what it must have been like as the Roman Empire had spread up into that part of England. But what I had forgotten until I visited there was that Miles Coverdale, who also had been a Catholic monk, later became the preacher of the church in York. I think I have a picture of this church called the largest Gothic cathedral in England. This cathedral in York was a hotbed during the time of the Reformation. And their pastor, Miles Coverdale, also began to study the gospel message. He began to realize that the Mass was not the way of salvation. Confession of sin to a priest was not the way to find atonement for sin. And in 1528, imagine this, as a Catholic priest, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and began to preach against the doctrines that he had been taught as a young man in college. The great thing about Coverdale is that he was used to translate the scriptures into the English language, and from the Textus Receptus, which is the same Greek text from which we received the King James Bible, before the King James Version, he translated the Coverdale Bible. There's a little plaque we saw on the wall there, Miles Coverdale, Bishop of Exeter. It spoke about how he completed the first printed English Bible. And what an exciting time it was to see that. But it was not without cost in his life. In this particular book of the Reformation, it says Coverdale was a man who was busily involved in the translating of the scriptures. And that he was a man who immediately after the Queen Mary came to the throne was deprived and imprisoned. He was confined with other leading reformers. During his imprisonment, this is what the man wrote. Pray for us, for God willing, we will not leave you, we will go before you. You shall see in us that we preach no lies nor tales, but even the true word of God, for which we, by God's grace and help of your prayers, will willingly and joyfully give our blood to be shed for confirmation of the same. Now, how can a man facing death, how can a man facing persecution, speak about the fact that it was with joy and a willing heart that he served the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, and this message has been brought by Pastor Paul Chappell in a series, Things to Remember, challenging us to come back to the foundational truths of our lives. If we can help you understand what it means to trust Christ, to build your life on a foundation and a relationship with Him, please give us a call or contact us here at Daily in the Word. I'll give you that information in just a moment. If you'd like this message or this entire series, Things to Remember, it is available on our website, dailyintheword.org, or you can call or write to us. We'd love to send it to you on audio CD or MP3 CD. Again, it's the series, Things to Remember. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of done what most religions don't tell you about the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.